too, right?
Right.
Blog Talk Radio.
What have we done?
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to The Abyss. Eric Preston and D-Square hanging here on a Tuesday afternoon, coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio. How's everybody going? How you doing?
That intro scared me, man.
Well, it is a scary intro, and that's a good thing.
Terrifying. How you doing? How's everybody doing today?
Okay, I guess
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, there's Preston.
Pretty good. There we go. All right.
I'm liking the Vincent Price, so.
So, and we have a very special show today because today is B Square's birthday.
Hooray! Happy birthday to me. I live in a tree.
You smell like a monkey and you like to drink pee, is that what you're trying to say?
That's exactly right. Once again, Eric, you've taken my thoughts and crystallized them down to a point. Just very, very well done.
Hey, it's what I do, it's my thing. So this week we are going to talk about remakes, movies that have been remade, movies that have been redone, movies that shouldn't be redone. We'll have Scott on in a few minutes, and like I said, we are going to talk about that. However, right now, right this very minute, we are going to do we're going to have our first live guest. Let's just put it that way. Hollow Scream is coming up. Actually, let me start that all over. Haunt season is coming up. You have Hollow Scream opening, Halloween Horror Nights, every haunt in the country happening.
My favorite time of the year. I just love it.
It is the most wonderful time of the year, absolutely. So screw Christmas. But for us,
he said it, folks. I didn't.
Hey, easy.
But our guest that we have on is here to talk about Hollow Scream, and that, of course, is Jill from Busch Gardens. Jill, thank you so much for taking the time out with us today.
Hey, Jill.
I didn't realize I was the first ever live guest. I'm very flattered. Thank you.
Our virgin guest.
And happy birthday, B-Square.
Our guinea pig.
Thank you very much. Although when you get to be my age, a birthday is less to be celebrated and more to just be endured.
Hey, any day above ground's a good one, so
it's true.
And like I said, we are going to have Jill talking about Hollow Scream. If you would like to get on the phone and talk to her about Hollow Scream or Busch Gardens in general, the phone number is 347-237-5266. Your number
also
to call
known
in.
As?
Also known as 347-237-LAMO. That's right. I don't pick the number, folks. So, Jill, what's going on with Hollow Scream this year?
Well, we are really excited. This is our ninth year as an event, and 9 short years after our very first Hollow Scream, you know, this thing has grown to be one of the top-rated Halloween events in the country. We often are ranked right behind Knott's Berry Farm, which, you know, since they've been doing it for more than 30 years, that's a pretty good model to follow and a mentor to look after. But we're really excited. We just launched the website a couple of weeks ago, raventwins.com, which introduces you to our very creepy and somewhat seductive iconic characters this year. Those are Laura and Lana Raven, the Raven twins. And I know you guys were saying before we went on air that you've already spent some time on the website, so you've already gotten to meet our twins.
Yes.
We love the twins.
Well, we love the twins, too. It's something a little bit different for Hollow Scream. For those folks who are familiar with the product and who know our campaigns from the past, you know that we've always tried to be very scary and very edgy. and we're certainly not deviating from that this year by any stretch, but we also wanted to incorporate a little bit more of the other side of Halloween, the little more seductive, the little more sexy side of Halloween.
Woo-hoo.
That has made the exactly that makes the holiday the $4 billion industry that it is. So we've got our twins, and for anybody who hasn't visited the website and hasn't been introduced to our twins and what they're all about this year, if you look at them, you guys have probably noticed that if you look at one side of their face, they're very, very beautiful women. If you look at the other side of their face, though, there's not quite so much.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the way that came about, just to introduce the listeners to who the Raven twins are, Laura and Lana were born as conjoined twins, and they grew up in a very affluent house, the Raven Manor, where they were given all manner of private lessons. They learned things like math and science and fencing and taxidermy and very important things for young men to know, of course.
Taxidermy?
That comes in important later. Well, as they grew up, of course, the twins met a young man and fell in love with him immediately and tried to seduce him. And he looked at them and said, "What would I need freaks like you for? I can go get a normal girl." Well, that made him mad. So that night, using their knowledge of fencing and that taxidermy that we talked about, they separated themselves, patched up their faces as best they could, and went and found the young man. When they showed up, they said, "Who wants normal girls? We'll show you normal girls." Killed him. Well, ever since, they've been trying, like so many of us young women, they're trying to find their true love. So they use internet ads, personal ads in the newspaper, always with the photo of the pretty side of their face, trying to lure these young men in with the promise of, "Would you like to meet the twins? Would you like to date the twins?" Well, of course, what guy can resist beautiful twins? So they show up at their house, and unfortunately, when they find out what the Raven twins are really all about, that's usually the last thing they see.
It's too late.
And of course, go ahead.
No, I was just going to insert an evil laugh there.
Well, I was going to say, too, I actually heard the radio commercial twice this morning, and I loved it both times, because the first time it really did fool me. I'm like, that sounds like a dating ad with two perky girl voices coming on, and then it slowly got into our interest, and then it eventually got to the normal things, and then all of a sudden, 19th century taxidermy. and then I realized, all right, nice.
That's wonderful. It really is. It just the way that they've taken the two things and wound them together like that, it's very original. I don't think, as far as icons for events like this go, I do believe this is the most original and innovative ones that I've ever heard or seen.
Well, we've just had so much fun with them, and the campaign itself really is a very layered approach to it. Now, if you see our billboards, you see these two girls and with no explanation of why do they look like that and why are they so strange looking. And then if you hear our radio, you get to hear their voices and know who they are. If you see our TV commercial, it shows them actually getting ready for their date and what happens when the young man shows up at the door. Then when you get to the website, that actually takes you inside their house and shows you how they live and who they are. And then, of course, when you get to the park, it doesn't stop with all of that media stuff. All the marketing things are my side of the house in the marketing department. But then once you get to the event, that's where our incredible entertainment department takes over and has to take, what we've created out in the public and then bring it to life for all of our guests who come. So once you come into the park, the very first thing you'll see at our front gate is what actually happens after that door closes at the Raven Twins' house. What happens when those young men come inside, and how do they meet their fate? So we've got a great new front entrance experience that's going to actually let you meet the twins and interact with them, because they are going to be coming down into the crowd and picking out their next dates from the crowd gathered there.
Ooh me. Wait a minute. Oh. Okay.
You don't have to twist your arm, it sounds like.
Oh, heck no.
And one question, we have the chat going on right now at blogtalkradio.com. One thing that the chatters want to know is, are we going to see the Twins anywhere else besides the front gate?
You are. They are going to show up in a cameo role in one of our returning houses. For those who have visited the event in the past and are familiar with our Trapped in the Walls house, it seemed only appropriate that the Twins would show up and torment some of the folks there as well.
Definitely.
Well, why go with an older house instead of going, say, I don't know, the route of, say, Halloween Horror Nights? Why not have their own specific
icon house?
Yeah, an icon house. That was one thing that a lot of people were under the impression of, was that reconstruction, especially since it has to do with plastic surgery and this demented doctor, why not make, say, something like that their house? Why go with an existing house instead of their own standalone house?
Well, actually, because what it boils down to is, when you've got two great ideas, why not use both of them? We already had an incredible storyline going for reconstruction with Dr. Von Angst and some of his family members. And as the Twins developed and we realized, of course, there's a very natural connection between them and Reconstruction, but Reconstruction was already such a great and strong house on its own that we thought, you know what, we're going to leave that alone and let that be its own standalone experience. By putting them up at the front gate, it's really that sense of arrival, and the moment you walk in, you know that you are connecting with all the things you've seen on the billboards and in the ads and in the on the radio commercial.
And the front gate is sort of the, this is just my opinion, I don't have anything to do with the event, but it's sort of the thesis statement for the entire event. When you walk
exactly.
in, this gives you the idea of what you're going to see throughout the rest of the park.
Exactly. It sets up that feeling. It gives you a little taste of not exactly what you're going to see, but what kinds of things you're going to see and what feeling you're going to have as you go through this event.
Very cool.
Preston, do you have anything?
I had a question somewhere, but that was pretty much all answered.
Actually, what I want to know is how many sets of Twins have you got?
We actually, from a casting standpoint, we actually had to cast four different sets of Twins.
My God.
And none of them are actually real Twins in real life. But they all look enough alike that once we put them through costuming and makeup and everything, it's going to be a pretty amazing transformation. But as with all of our roles in the event, we double cast everything, and that allows all of our performers to, you know, have some breaks throughout the evening and make sure that we're able to maintain the appearance of a fully staffed event from beginning to end while still being able to let people rotate through and go get some dinner and you know, take a break. Because I don't know if you guys have ever tried scaring people for 7 hours at a time, but it's a very demanding job. As much fun as it is, it's very rigorous and very demanding. And so, you know, for the safety of our performers more than anything else, we make sure that every single one of them is double cast so they can have those breaks during the evening.
Now, I probably shouldn't tell the story, but I was I'm not going to tell how I did it, but I was backstage in one of the houses a couple of years ago.
I probably don't want to know how you were back there, do I?
With some friends of mine. And one of the guys who operated a boo door showed me what he was doing with his boo door, which, for those of you who don't know what a boo door is, it's a hole in the wall that's covered by a door, and the actor will open the door and scream something at you and then slam the door. And my opinion was, well, that's an easy thing to do. And he showed me that it isn't. If you open that door, say, 10 or 12 times in the space of about three minutes, your upper arm is just on fire. It's just so hard to do for any length of time at all. It's amazing. I mean, just the stamina it takes to do that is amazing. And I really respect the people that can do it.
Well, we joke that, you know, there's a great market out there for a Halloween Hello Scream-based workout tape. You know, between the jumping up and crouching down and you know, chasing unsuspecting victims. And like you said, even the drop doors and the boo doors and everything else, it's a workout.
Hey, I think we can actually accommodate that because both Preston and I are trying to lose weight. So, I mean, that sounds like it would be a fun workout.
Yeah.
I think I can stick to that one for more than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, we can give you at least 17 nights worth, starting next weekend and stretching through November 1st.
There you go. Go be a sub. I'd love to see you there, man.
I remembered one of the things I was going to bring up. I love the houses and scare zones, but there's actually some new venues with the shows this year.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us anything? The Killer Clown thing really interests me. It just sounds sadistic. It sounds really, really something cool.
It really is. We've got some really neat new elements this year, and Killer Clowns is one of them. That's a new show that we've got up at the front of the park. For anybody who remembers Freak Show from last year, we've brought back the same director and challenged him to come up with something that would showcase the number one fear in this country, which is clowns, or the number one most feared character, if you will. So Killer Clowns is a... again, another kind of audience participation show that these demented, horrible clowns will be looking for volunteers to give makeovers to on stage. Of course, you can only imagine when you've got a band of bloodthirsty clowns that you know, the makeovers aren't quite what folks want to turn out like all the time.
I'm thinking lost limbs and
at the very least. But the other neat thing about this show, if you've looked through the website, you may notice that it appears as though we have less scare zones this year. We've actually gone from 5 official scare zones down to 3. What we've done instead, though, is answered a guest comment that we've gotten over and over in the past couple of years, is that as much as they love the scare zones and as much as they love the haunted houses, when you walk up to one of those venues, you know you're going to be scared. You know that, you know, lighting and audio and music means something's coming. So they've asked us, how can you scare us without us knowing we're going to be scared? We want to be just walking down the sidewalk, not expecting anything, and be scared. And we said, we can do that. So this year we introduced our roaming hordes, and we've got several of them, clowns being one of them. So at the end of the show, the clowns will go running off into the darkness beyond the theater, and you will see them pop up at several places around the park, kind of when you least expect them, probably when you least wish they were there. But besides the clowns, we've also got a zombie horde that's going to be showing up in different places. We've, of course, brought back our camo crew, those living bushes that tend to pop out into the sidewalks. There's about 3 times as many of those this year.
Oh, God, they get
in the past.
All the time. They get
me.
I passed by the same one like 4 times last year. I knew who, if she or she, I don't know if it's a he or she, I knew they were there and they got me anyway. That's how
Well, and even better for us as the employees of the event that are kind of, you know, walking around in the name tags and keeping an eye on everything. At the end of the night, when the bushes have already gone in for the night, but there's still guests in the park, to see a guest standing looking at a real bush and shaking a fist and yelling, "You're not going to get me. I know you're there."
And another question
makes it all worthwhile for us.
Another question that's popping up on the chat is, we have the clown, zombie, sliders, anything else? Anything else that you can talk about?
Sure. Well, we of course, the camo crew. We've also got what we call our street creeps, and we've had a few of these in the park in the past. There's going to be even more of them this year. These are the people that look like ordinary park guests or perhaps like ordinary park employees until you get closer to them. One that we've had in the past that has proved very popular, and she's got some new friends this year, but is a woman who appears to be holding a baby wrapped in a blanket. Yes, and as you get close to her, you know, you find out that that's not really a baby. It's actually a hideous beast, puppet that she's controlling. So, you know, again, they look like a normal person in the crowd until they get right up next to you. And those are the kind of things, you know, that's what we really like doing at Hello Scream is, you know, one lesson we've learned over the past 9 years is that it really takes different things to scare different people. And some people will come into a haunted house and, you know, all of the lights, all of the music, all of the fog, that's what it takes to scare them. Some people get a much bigger thrill out of those little one-on-one moments that just kind of grab you and then disappear back off into the night.
Now, I've told this story probably about a dozen times, and Bruce and Preston are probably rolling their eyes knowing exactly which one I'm going to.
Go for it.
It was my first Hallow Scream.
We go there. I really didn't know what to expect. I believe it was one of the zombie junctions. You had the railroad workers. This mother.
Agony Express.
Agony Express. There you go.
Oh, long time ago. Going back.
We are hardcore.
Yeah, quite a few years back. And this mother and her two daughters, probably about 9, 10, 11, goes just absolutely crazy. They're trying to push mom ahead of them. They're trying to just hide from the characters. The characters see this, and unlike at other events, they kind of back off. Here, at here they just absolutely go, just jump right up in the face. The little girl starts crying, "Mommy, make them stop!" The guy just slams the shovel on the sidewalk and starts screaming, "Yeah, mommy, make them stop!"
I love that.
Gets right back in their face. I mean, I absolutely love that. That's one of the things that sold me on Hallow Scream. Really just a fun time. So one more question that's coming up on the chat boards is, what about a daytime tour with the lights on for the haunted houses? Is that ever going to happen?
I would say probably not. It's certainly not in the plan for this year, and I don't really ever see it being part of the plan in the future, and I'll tell you why. You know, it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz model of, you know, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Right.
As curious as people are to know what these things look like during the daytime, to be honest, it really kills some of the magic to see what they look like with the lights on. As beautiful of a job as our folks do on creating these incredibly detailed houses, until you put the rest of the layers on it, until you get the lighting and the fog and the sound effects and the performers, I mean, that's what really brings it to life. You know, until then, you've just got empty rooms and empty hallways. And
right.
as neat as it is to see the kind of detail that goes into that and to kind of peek behind the curtain, it really ruins it for, you know, to then come through and have the whole experience, because you've already seen the answers at the back of the book at that point.
And all of the whenever anyone says to me that they want to see backstage, I always say that all of the good stuff is on stage.
Exactly.
I mean, why would you want to go back? I mean, I can describe the people in the chat room or that are listening. I can describe backstage in one word, and that word is plywood.
Mm-hmm.
Plywood. There's nothing back there. All of the stuff you want to see, it's already in front of you, and that's what you need to see. I mean, if you've been in a theater, if you've done any kind of theater at all, you know that the backstage area is nothing more than an area for the actors to get themselves on stage and off stage.
Exactly.
That makes any sense at all.
Exactly. Well, and to go back, if we can, for a minute, to the story you were telling about Agony Express and the reaction to those kids who probably shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Right.
That's a great time to bring up something else that we're trying to do this year, more so than we ever have before. We've always advocated that Hallow Scream is definitely an adult event, whereas Busch Gardens by day is very family oriented, and we do whatever we can to make sure we have something for everybody from the youngest kids to the oldest kids. Hallow Scream is not that way. And, you know, if there's parents out there wondering if the event is okay for their kids, if you have to wonder, the answer is no.
Absolutely.
If you're not
and
sure if your kids are ready for it, the answer is
learn
no.
The hard way, like Eric's story.
Exactly. And one thing that we've done this year differently to really make that point is, in the past, on our flyers and on our billboards and on our TV commercial and everything else, we've had a warning sign that says, "Hallow Scream is too intense for young children. Parental discretion is advised." And it's always served us well. The warning was definitely there. But we really took a new look at that this year and realized that there were a couple of words in there that we really don't want people to think about when they think about Hallow Scream, and that's young children and parents. Mm-hmm. So this year we've actually changed the warning bar. There's still definitely a warning on every piece of printed material, every TV commercial, everything that you're going to see. But we've changed the wording a little bit. And this year's warning bar actually says, "This year's event contains intense adult content such as violence, gore, and blood."
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And, you know, we mean it to be, you know, a sign to folks who are into that kind of stuff that, yes, we definitely want to come see it, but also to leave absolutely no question in people's minds that this is not a family event. It's not appropriate for 10, 11, 12-year-olds. In fact, it's probably not even appropriate for some 15 and 16-year-olds, that this really is an 18 and up adult targeted event.
Well, I've always said that one thing I like the most about Hollow Scream is the way the intensity of it is just cranked up. If I can compare it for a moment to that other event down the road, the Halloween Horror Nights has always seemed to me to be like a well-produced band, like a
concert.
Yes, like I can't even talk now. Something with a lot of production behind it, something with a lot of produced. Whereas Howl Scream is more like a garage band. It's more of an in-your-face, raw kind of experience. And you really don't know what these craziest characters are going to do. They're nuts, you know, and that's one thing I like about it. You never know what's going to go down.
Just ask B-Square about penguins.
No penguins. Oh, my God. No penguins, please.
And what's so funny, I really love that comparison as a great fan of kind of indie rock underground music myself. I'll take that as a compliment on behalf of the event. But what's really funny is how much training actually goes into the appearance of being crazy and out of control.
As we speak right now, they're rehearsing, aren't they?
They are. Actually, the first rehearsal is tonight.
See, that's so cool to know. Just they're out there.
Yeah, they're working on it right now. We had an incredible year for auditions this year. We absolutely blew the doors off auditions and were fully cast to the point that we actually canceled the last two audition dates because we were full. We always tell people be sure to audition early for prime roles. This year it was audition early for any roles because we filled it up. And it's just really exciting that everybody's excited. They've been going through all of their orientations in the last couple of weeks, and now the rehearsals start in earnest this week. And, you know, the energy is just incredible with this group.
Really cool. Well, we know that how busy you are, so we will let you go. And actually, Jill and I just talked about this beforehand. If you can't get enough Hollow Scream, next Friday I will be doing a show from Hollow Scream. It won't be live, but we will be talking to a lot of people behind the scenes. We're going to get a little bit more in depth, and it should be a lot of fun. So make sure in about a week or so you check that out. And Jill, thank you so much for joining us.
Indeed,
no problem.
Thank you.
Just hit up RavenTwins.com. We've got some great ticket deals, and as always, you save when you buy in advance.
Fright Feast is excellent, might I plug. Fright Feast. Do it. Save you time.
Be Fright Feast, try the pumpkin cheesecake.
Do it.
Oh, God, pumpkin cheesecake. Yeah, I have not had any kind of cake or cheesecake or anything.
Let's get those
like
DVDs
that.
Out before
that's
that.
Right, Tubby, and you won't either. So.
Oh, I'm going to. Oh, I'm going to.
Get it. No, we're giving you low fat, low cal. That's the way where you're going.
All right, Jill.
I'll stand between you and the cake. No cake.
Well, Jill, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you in about a week or so. And people, go to RavenTwins.com. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have Scott, and we're going to talk movies. Thanks a lot, Jill.
Thank you.
Okay, and yeah, I said we're going to take a quick break, didn't I? Here we go.
Are you ready for action?
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious...
Are you ready for romance?
You know, you may be the first attractive woman I've not wanted to sleep with in my entire life.
Are you ready for horror?
Alive!
Are you ready for Pat McCabe?
What?
Then you're ready for the action-packed podcast that will scare you silly. You're ready to take a walk in the park. Join Pat McCabe every week as he shows you around the amusement world in his weekly podcast, A Walk in the Park Podcast. You can check out the podcast at www.awalkinthepark.com. Podomatic.com. If you're ready to take a walk on the wild side, then you're ready for a Walk in the Park podcast, hosted by Pat McCabe.
He's a very strange young man.
He's an idiot. Comes from upbringing. Parents are probably idiots, too.
Hey, it's Zach, one half of the Kick-Ass Movie Podcast. And say, do you like action movies? How about comedy? How about movies that are so terrible they're great? Do you think Steven Seagal deserves an Oscar? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then do we have the podcast for you, the Kick-Ass Movie Podcast, a different movie every week from two college kids with way too much time on their hands. You never know who's going to show up. So check us out at MySpace at myspace.com/kickassmoviepodcast. On our website, www.kickassmoviepodcast.com. And you can subscribe and vote in the iTunes Music Store. And remember, you stay classy, Internet.
Aww, your park's closed. No sources for information. You don't even know what new coaster they're bringing next season.
Freeze! Strap in, hang on, and coast to BehindTheThrills.com for the latest in amusement industry news, updates, and rumors. What are you waiting for? Join the crew at BehindTheThrills.com. You can also leave a live review to be played on our next show by calling 206-376-3022 or subscribe to us by searching the name of the show. For more information about the show, please email us at staff@behindthethrills.com. What are you waiting for? Do it!
Everybody, we are back, and Scott's here.
Yay,
Scott.
I love my life, and I love being here. Hello, how are you?
Scott.
By the way, could you throw some more commercials in there, you know, maybe just a couple more, you know, just a freecreditreport.com in there. I mean, my God.
Hey, wait till we start getting paid for it. It's going to be nothing but Whoreville, baby.
Wait, we get paid for this? Somebody gets paid for this? What? What?
No, I mean,
what?
I mean,
you guys aren't getting paid?
Yeah.
What?
Thanks, guys.
It's okay, because I've now got a crush on Jill, so there you go.
Jill is absolutely awesome. She is one of the coolest chicks ever at a theme park. And did you guys check that little subtle hint? Scaring people is, you know, when she's talking about scaring people, yes, Jill used to be a character.
Mm.
I thought you were talking about the subtle hint that she digged me. But,
no, that,
you know,
that was just
the real subtle one.
Oh, it's slappy.
Well, the one thing I got out of it is that the Raven twins are definitely based on my ex-girlfriend. You know, they lure you in with all this good looks, and then they turn out to be horrible people. Well,
Raven twins are based on everybody's ex-girlfriends.
Well, no, you don't even know. I go
the combined evil of all ex-girlfriends.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, I win.
So for
okay.
The roommate,
take us home.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, if you do want to call in, the number is 347-237-5266. Phone lines have been open. You should have called and talked to Jill. She was completely awesome. But if you want to talk to us instead, hey, you know, can't blame
And why would you? You know, really.
So anyway, this week, like we said, it's remakes. There's all kinds of remakes going on this year, especially. You have the Day the Earth Stood Still remake. You have yeah, you have
Tell me about it.
Friday the 13th. You have Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean, you just have so many remakes to films that really seem unnecessary.
And check out that spectrum of genre. I mean, we've had Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, wow, Prom Night. They're really stretching from the old slashers, aren't they?
Yeah, right.
One thing about Prom Night is the remake sucked just as bad as the original did, so they kind of kept
Leslie Nielsen. Nielsen, sorry. Blah, blah, blah.
Prom Night would have worked better as a Freddy Krueger movie. And when your movie has to be subsidized as a Freddy Krueger movie, you know you have problems. It would have made more sense, goddammit!
If you're having to remake Prom Night, you've got problems in general. I mean, come on. Our original idea is dead. I could come up with more original. I mean, give me 10 minutes. I'll come up with 10 original ideas.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce has been writing Homecoming for like 5 years now.
Exactly, yes.
I mean, and Preston, Bruce, you and me, this is one thing that pisses me off, and I don't understand why they're remaking it, and I only have to say 4 words to say it, and you guys will be like, I don't understand why either. Rocky Horror Picture Show.
What
the hell are they thinking?
And it's not like the Rocky Horror Picture Show was really a big movie. I mean, it was
horrible. It's a terrible film. I go there to make fun of it.
Yeah, and that's why it's so famous, because it was so bad, because people just couldn't help shouting things at the screen. Because she's a whore!
It's the original Riff Tracks Mystery Science Theater concept. It's interacting with the movie.
There's no way you can remake the Rocky Horror Picture Show. The Rocky Horror Picture Show was alchemy. It was the music, but mostly it was the actors. Now, where are you going to find another Tim Curry? Where are you going to find another Barry Bostwick or Susan Sarandon or even Richard O'Brien? These people made the films.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
What about Meatloaf? We're missing the best part of
Meatloaf. Well, I, you know what? I think they could probably get him.
What are you trying to say? He's a bad musician?
He's really busy with GoPhone right now.
Get you a GoPhone today? Hey!
Go past the bad movie aspect to what made it a cult movie. It's a cult movie. Why remake a cult movie? It's still famous. It's still playing in thousands and thousands of theaters every Saturday night.
How many horror actors are doing a tribute to it, for God's sake?
Yeah.
The second year in a row, yeah.
A remake is for when people forget about it.
That just creatively bankrupts people in Hollywood. It's ridiculous.
It's Michael Bay.
Is that it? Is it the creatively bankrupt people in Hollywood? I mean, because you hear tons of stories of aspiring screenwriters, such as probably the four people sitting here, who have such great ideas.
You hear me calling Hollywood?
Such as the four people sitting right here who have great ideas, just pouring out of every hole. Why take a chance on
who? I just don't understand. Okay. Tim Burton's a great actor, or director, actor. He was in Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure. He was a great actor in that. But he's a great director. And he remakes Willy Wonka and the Chocolate, or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And he's remaking Alice in Wonderland.
He remade Planet of the Apes.
You know what he was going to remake that was going to kill me? That was one of the best remakes, if you want to talk good remakes in itself. The musical version of Little Shop of Horrors.
Why? I can't understand why anybody
would
want to read it.
Because the floors are checkered,
it.
And that's Tim Burton's bag, baby. It's so stupid.
They tried, they replaced Charlton Heston with
He blew
Martin
it up.
Hart. Okay? I mean, you can't. I mean, you go from you go from get your paws off me, you damn dirty ape. It's just what? Just kind of a
Marky Mark
whisper. You know what? I mean, I don't understand why anyone thought that was a good idea. I can't.
It's just so amazing that I had to watch it 8 more times. Thank you for making that movie.
Oh, yeah, the ending made absolutely no sense at all. It was just, oh, no, he's traveled to the world of apes with suits on. What the
and
hell?
God. Yay. Whoa.
I hope Tim Burton at least has the decency to be embarrassed by that.
Well, it was a creative decision. And like Patman said in the Blog Talk Radio web chat, remakes are easy for studios to make. Low risk that they will bomb because they have a built-in fan base. I mean, right there. How many people poured
that world to live in? The producers are afraid to take risks, and that's what. And you know what? That is why indie movies rock so much more today, because they're original. Even if they suck, even if it's a stupid slasher, I've never heard of this character before. He's got a different deformed face than Jason Voorhees. It doesn't matter because it's original.
Well, that's
at least.
Sorry.
Yeah. But, I mean, movies like Hatchet, it's a weird indie movie, but it's original.
What about Missing Me Train? That movie got released into independent, or not independent movie theaters, it was dollar theaters, because Lionsgate wanted to promote the better movie. Disaster film. What the fuck? I'm sorry.
Yeah, and who was the author of Midnight Meat Train? That was,
Clive Barker.
Yeah, how are you going to choose disaster movie, which, by the way, is bombing right now compared
thank
to what...
Thank God, that means there is some justice in the world.
I'm really hoping... You know a disaster movie? You know what these movies are to me? The Bill and Ted Show stretched to over an hour.
Yeah, except the Bill and Ted Show is much funnier.
With Carmen Electra and less talent.
The Bill and Ted Show thrive because it's in front of you. It's live theater, you know.
Yeah,
there's
it's funny.
In front of you, not
it's
celluloid up on a screen where they're like, hey, a fart joke. That was funny. Ha ha ha. I'm going to go see Meet the Spartans so Shrek can vomit on that.
Jesus, I'm so ashamed of myself.
And ever since Scary Movie 2, because, you know, okay, admittedly Scary Movie was the parody movie for this past generation, but ever since Scary Movie 2 and beyond a disaster movie, are they even about the movies they're claiming to parody? It's pop culture reference. It's Bill and Ted.
It all began with Airplane, which was one of the most genius movies ever.
Further, what about How I Learned to Love the Bomb, Dr. Strangelove, and Failsafe Spoof?
I don't think I would call, Failsafe Spoof. I never would have caught that, but you're right, it is. But Dr. Strangelove was more, it was a real film. It had characters,
right,
it had thoughts. It
didn't rely on any previous knowledge, per se.
If you guys are wrong about this, you're going to have to answer the Coca-Cola Company.
Oh no! Are they going to send polar bears to my house? Oh,
no, they're going to send penguins.
Oh God, no!
Oh, well, let's get back on track here. We kind of made way off topic. yeah, the Airplane, Scary Movie, those
the
Coca-Cola
people are there.
Those really aren't so much easy, Bruce. Those aren't so much really remakes as they are parodies, and parodies kind of falls into a different line altogether. Remakes is basically the same movie, maybe with a new added twist, sometimes not. Let's look at the remake of Psycho, the shot-for-shot remake of Psycho.
Pointless.
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn, what the hell is he doing in that movie?
The remake should have been called Hitchcock the Tribute Band.
And up until that time,
exact
I would call Gus Van Sant a genius.
Yeah,
because Drugstore Cowboy was such an awesome film. I love that movie. And then the next thing he does is a shot-for-shot remake of Psycho. What happened? Did he sustain a head injury? What happened to the guy?
No. He did Good Will Hunting and then a few other little films, and he was just on high tide that so many directors get, I can do no wrong, let's remake Psycho. And Psycho is one of those movies like Casablanca. You just should not touch it. That's like the Holy Grail. You don't piss in the Holy Grail.
Or, you know, you Rocky Horror.
Oh, don't, my God, don't say that. Somebody will try to remake the Holy Grail now, God forbid.
Oh, well, actually, they kind of did with Spamalot, but that's a Broadway version. But you know it's only a matter of time, because it's successful, that they are going to turn that into a movie. Speaking of which,
right,
that kind of reminds me. Yeah, here it comes. You know what's coming. Winding up for the pitch, Evil Dead, one of the greatest cult films of all time. It is now a musical off-Broadway. They have it in Canada. It looks like a freaking riot. It looks
There's nothing wrong with that. If taking a film and putting it into a different like taking a film and making it into a musical, that's fine, because it's a different thing. A play.
That's like fan fiction. It's for the fans.
Right. But because of that,
I've been lucky enough to see Spamalot, and it's hysterically funny. But it was actually written by the Pythons. It was written by the people.
Eric Idle.
And I'll tell you something else you may not know. There's coming up is a Broadway musical version of Monty Python's Life of Brian.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I mean, you got young Frank.
Sorry. I would love to see. You see what I mean? I'd like to see. If someone remade Young Frankenstein as a film, I would avoid it like the plague. But if Young Frankenstein the Plague came near me, I would I would kill the species.
It's not the plague. It's the body collectors. There's already an example that came full circle, and that's the producers. They went from original comedy to stage play musical, back to the stage play musical into a movie with the original. Two of the bigger Broadway actors.
That was a really fast Howling Horror Nights reference. I give you props on that. That was very funny. It made me laugh.
You guys are still on the plague. It's the collector. Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
Thank you.
That's all I heard in that sentence. I was like, oh, body collectors. Speaking of classic horror stuff, what about the Wolfman? Did you guys get to see the trailer for that that leaked out of Comic-Con?
I didn't get to see it, but, however, this is kind of cool for people on the West Coast. Yeah, I'm sure they listen to this show.
They're all out there, yeah. All three of them.
They'll be here at 6 p.m. and their time, so it's not going to work.
Well, no, anyway, the people on the West Coast who are going to Halloween Horror Nights this year, as part of the tram tour, they are going to get to see the world premiere of the Wolfman trailer before anybody else, before it hits theaters, before anything else.
It's an actual trailer on the tram tour, and there's trailer.
There's a trailer that's just a Wolfman on the side.
Yeah, there he is.
All I know is that in the trailer that I saw, Benicio del Toro looks at a guy and goes,
"I'm going to kill you."
And that made it for me because
I like him because he's really passionate about the classic monsters.
If a movie like that needs to be remade, like something like The Wolfman, if you show that to a modern audience, they won't get it. Kids won't understand it. It's in black and white. The guy's got a bunch of fur stuck to his face, and he's wearing, you know, what looks like a gas station.
A janitor out a jumpsuit.
Yeah, it's not going to fly. So I can understand that being remade. You've got Rick Baker doing the makeup.
Yes,
you've got Benicio del Toro, who's a genius acting man, doing the part. I think that one's going to work really, really well. But when you remake something like, say, The Hitcher, for instance, which was done absolutely perfectly the first time it was done, why bother? I mean, what's the point?
Money.
Never mind. Make money. That's the point.
Yeah. Well, that's the same thing about that is just like, okay, they're making a prequel to The Thing, to John Carpenter's The Thing, which actually, yeah, possibly, because I saw Roma.
Russell.
Well, again, The Thing was a remake.
The Thing
was justified.
It
was a film that could be remade. I mean, before we had James Arness with a fake head and some hands
I own that movie. I own the original.
And so, you know, and John Carpenter's The Thing was genius, and The Haunted House based on it, by the way, was also genius.
All right, hold on real quick. We have a caller on the line.
Oh, my
wrong number.
Let's go to the 240. What's your name, bud?
Hey, what's going on? My name is Phil. How you doing, guys?
Phil.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
That kind of sounds like another person I know.
I don't know what you're talking about. But anyway, what you guys are talking about movie remakes. What about movies that are not just remakes, but blatant rip-offs? I'm talking about, like, for instance, Disturbia, a rip-off of a great movie, Rear Window.
Rear Window.
Yeah. I refuse to see that movie for that reason. Everyone's like, oh, my God, Shia LaBeouf is in this movie. He's so cute. Oh, my God. All my games.
Wait. Shia LaBeouf's a boy?
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf. Fuck.
Whoa.
Oh, now. Come on. But, he's right. Remember Star Wars came out. How many rip-offs? Star Crash, everything with Star in it came out. I mean, every sci-fi, there was no sci-fi before Star Wars. All of a sudden, after Star Wars, every film had a villain dressed in black, a plucky young space hero.
TV shows, too. Look at Battlestar Galactica. Granted, it's quite different, but the name alone doesn't scream Star Wars, Battlestar Galactica.
Well, I would rather what Phil said there. I would rather see a ripoff than a remake. I would.
Or no offense to huge Star Wars fans, but Lucas has done enough spinoffs now where it's kind of once you get to CGI movies, it's.
Oh, you guys see that Turkish Star Trek? It's like they're made. They just ripped it off, and it's just a terrible movie.
I got a video of the Italian Spider-Man.
Have you ever seen the Japanese Spider-Man? He's got
a robot.
Spider-Man robot that he rides around. Oh, it's
That's
awesome.
Great.
It's funny as hell.
So, Phil, you got Phil hung up. See, you guys, you guys have to watch that. Yes,
sorry,
we did
Phil.
Get a sorry, Phil Mulder. We did get a call, and if you do, if you do want to call in and put your 2 cents in, I promise we'll try to keep the bee off you. It is 347-237-5266. Yeah, Disturbia, big, absolutely blatant ripoff.
That was a very good point by Phil. I'm glad he called. That was great.
Actually, did make a good point, and I'm kind of sorry we ran him off now.
Yeah, well, that's what you get when you unleash the hounds. So, let's see, what else? What is the difference? And you see this a lot because you don't want to hear the name remake. What is the deal with reboots or reimagining or restart?
It's a new interpretation of this movie. That's why we're doing the Daily Civil Keanu Reeves, and Gort's going to be in it. We're going to do that.
Here's the difference. A reboot can only be used if it's it's more of a post-term. It's a good remake. It's a new vision. It's what Batman obviously has done, and it's what hopefully Wolfman will do. It's a reboot of the series. It's a reboot of the name, like The Mummy. Of course, then you get on to Mummy 3. Look at the problem with sequels. That's a whole other story.
The ending
of that whole story.
It was, my God. And then there were mummies found in...
It's the same thing with Burton's Batman. It started off good for the time, but once Burton left and the studios, which is what they're going to do if no one doesn't want to do another Batman, the trick today is to keep doing... And correct me if I'm wrong, because Scott's my movie guru. But the studio thinks today is the studios will keep making movies until it loses money. That's just the game, you know?
Yeah, that's...
So
that's
there's never going to be a one good movie anymore. There will always be a sequel of some sort.
Yeah, but now you also have somebody, Figment, in the chat also brought up. They are reimagining Star Trek. What do you guys think about that?
I'm actually looking forward to that. I'm a hardcore Trekkie. And Trekkie, not Trekker, Trekkie. And I'm just...
You don't climb mountains?
All hell. Right.
You're in Tennessee, man. You're a Trekker.
No, I live in a cave with bears, actually.
That's right.
But I think they've got Nimoy in it. And I think, although they say they're not, I think they're going to put Shatner in it, too. And I just have a feeling that this is going to be good because, good Lord, the last actual Star Trek film was just crap on a stick. Nemesis?
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
And there's Abrams fanboys, so they kind of support the whole – they trust his producing vision. Like,
well,
if he sees something
I like
good.
Abrams. I'm not – I wouldn't say that I'm a fanboy of him. Cloverfield was just okay. But I think that he it's in good hands. I think that he means well, and I think that he wants to do good with it. And I'm going to give
it
a chance.
Passion.
Exactly.
Oh, and a couple of things. I think, one, Nimoy should have directed it because Body Wars is still a fabulous piece of work. Rest in peace.
Good Lord, it made me sick. Oh, my God. Yeah.
And George – was it the and George Takei and his husband will probably be at the premiere. He was married. He got married the other day.
Yeah, that's actually not a cheap shot. He actually did get married the other day.
Captain, I believe we're entering the black hole. Oh, my.
And you no discussion
about... You got a Howard Stern
reference. Oh, geez, shut up. No.
I love Howard Stern. Screw you. Howard Ross.
Yeah, anyway. No mention of reboots would be... at all worth it without mentioning the cartoon show reboot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wasn't that just Tron for kids?
Basically it was Tron for kids, and every so often you hear about them wanting to redo it. And why
reboot,
not?
Reboot.
Reboot, reboot.
They
did.
What is it? Reboot version. There's video, pictures of it on the internet of Bob, and it looks pretty cool. I used to be a fan of that show. It was fun. It was a good show.
What do you think of Tron 2?
Oh, my God!
I'm glad they're doing Tron 2 rather than a remake. That's all I can say. That's the best thing about it, no matter what.
When you have I don't know who's in it, but when you have a movie that...
Hopefully Jeff Bridges again.
Yeah,
it was in the trailer. It was amazing.
When you have a sequel that spawns, what, 20 years, you can't help but to think of it as the remake. Like with the Dark Crystal. Dark Crystal 2 is coming out pretty soon. Tartakovsky. Yeah, Tartakovsky. The guy who did Samurai Jack and Dexter's Lab.
Love Samurai Jack.
And get this one, Fraggle Rock. Brian Henson. Do Fraggle Rock.
Down to Fraggle Rock.
Now we just have
360
degrees. We just lost every listener with that one right there.
Everyone was born post 1990 in the chat. Maybe not.
Denver, the Last Dinosaur. Yes, remake.
He's my friend. And
yes.
Speaking of Saturday morning remakes, I would be remiss without mentioning Land of the Lost.
Land of the Lost movie coming out next year, and it looks just
look at that. Land of the Lost had so many remake TV shows as it was.
So, all right, real quick, we have just a few minutes. I have to talk about awesomebadness.com. That's part of my contract. That's why I get paid the $2.
Awesomebadness.com,
run by our friend Hud. All kinds of great articles you guys have been putting forth. It looks like a whole mess of articles this past week, right?
15 monkeys and a typewriter. We got that going.
Hopefully Shakespeare will be coming very, very soon.
Don't have to read it. It's awesome!
Check out awesomebadness.com. If you have any questions or comments or problems with this show...
Complaints? Yes, please.
Yeah, direct that to the webmaster.
Not us.
Not us. At contact@awesomebadness.com. Real quick, really big contest going on. SeaWorld Orlando's opening up Manta next year, right?
Right.
Yes, they are.
Okay. Stay with me here.
Okay.
They are pouring all the footers. They have all the beams up. They have all kinds of stuff up. The track is coming. We have partnered up with SeaWorld Orlando, much like just about every other theme park podcast out here, although we're not a theme park podcast, are we? Anyway, we have partnered up with SeaWorld Orlando to send two people to SeaWorld Orlando, two free tickets, first to ride Manta, front of the line access. All you have to do is get a snapshot of the main track, which will be coming September 29th. Now, Eric, I don't live in Orlando. Who cares? This thing's coming from Ohio, and we will actually have, in fact, I'm pretty sure it's up now, we will actually have the route that it's coming from Ohio. All you have to do is get us a snapshot to contact@awesomebadness.com. Be the first to get us a snapshot of the track coming to SeaWorld, and you will win those tickets.
That's a good idea. That really is a good idea.
Eric, we got some chatter saying who didn't get the invite to that contest. Apparently, it was on Screamscape this morning and Florida Thrills.
Yeah. Like I said, every other team.
Yeah, well, it's here now, okay?
So it's what it is. It's not fair. If you own a media-based site, you're going to get it.
Yeah, well, no, actually, we are not a theme park-based site, so
that's true.
Special. Ha-ha. Ha. Bitches.
Well, Zach, I want to say that the new Star Wars game just came out. I know it's deviating from the path. And apparently, GameTrailers.com, which is the website I go to for my gaming news, gave it a 6.9. And that's not very good. I mean, hey, it looked like a really fun game. And the Euphoria engine, which is, makes it
like 4 years in the making.
Isn't there on the Wii, but on the Xbox 360 it is.
Just because the game looks good does not make it a good game. Older game, like Pac-Man, still a great game.
And that's going to wrap it up for us, guys. Till next time.
We'll be remade next week with new actors, new scripts.
And pay attention next week. We are going to have some big announcement. So until next week, stay in the shadows.
I'm B-Square.
I'm fat.
God, I love my life.
All right, guys, take it easy. Until next week, we'll see you then.
Good night, Cleveland! Woo!